Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. All right, raise your hand if you would like to become more confident. I can't see you raising your hand, obviously, but you know what I mean. Everybody would like to be more confident. Who wouldn't want to feel confident going into any situation? Here's the question, though. How do you actually develop that as a skill? Like, feeling something is not often, like, you know, it's not a switch you can flip, right? Like, I can't flip a switch and like, oh, look at that, I feel more confident. Well, I think there is a way to develop confidence as a skill. And in today's episode, I'm going to go over the actions that you can take to actually develop more confidence. So these are going to be actionable strategies that will help you develop that skill. This is not about just like, try to feel more confident or try to believe in yourself. I'm actually going to walk you through what I believe develops confidence, and I'm going to give you essentially a protocol of sorts for developing that confidence. And my idea is that this is something that you would look at and you go, okay, how am I going to be more confident a year from now than I am currently today? So it's not going to be like a hack, so to speak. It's not going to be like, oh, just do this one thing and tomorrow you're going to feel more confident. It's more so, how are you developing the actual state of confidence as a lifelong quality, a lifelong feeling that you can tap into? I would love it if at this time next year you go, I see a huge difference. I see true progress between who I was a year ago and who I am now in terms of confidence, obviously. So let's get into it, because I've got a lot to say about this and I'm going to unpack each of these pieces. I'm going to lay them out kind of like steps, because I do feel like this is a protocol that if you apply it to your life, you absolutely will see a difference. So you can write down each of the pieces as I'm laying them out. I do think they build on one another. They also kind of overlap with one another, all of that. But the first one is the linchpin for all the rest, okay? And it is this: decide now on some kind of a big challenge or goal. And my guess is that if you're listening to this podcast, you already kind of know what that is. There's something within you that maybe kind of like you've always wanted to do. You've always felt like, oh, it'd be so cool if I could do this thing. Whatever that thing would be, choose a big challenge or goal. So if you want to be more confident than you are right now, but you understand it's going to take time to develop this as a skill or a quality, choose a big challenge. Now, there's a quote that I believe is by Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Not totally sure. I was looking around online. I couldn't quite find it. But anyway, I believe it's Jim Rohn who said, set goals that are so big that the pursuit of the goal itself will change you. So essentially, you are not going to become more confident by watching a few motivational speeches or, you know, listening to them on TikTok or listening to inspirational podcast content. Like, I wish I could give you that today, right? But I can't. Becoming more confident will only happen when you have undeniable proof in your own capacity and capability and consistency and willingness. And the only way to get that proof is to do things that test your capacity and your capability and your willingness and your consistency, and not give up until you actually get there. I suppose the other way to become more confident would be to go through some really, really horrible, sucky life experience and emerge from the other side. But I'm looking at, like, how do you actively develop confidence, and ideally without you having to, say, go through like the worst grief of your life, okay? So make this the year that you decide you're going to do something big. I'm talking about capital B-I-G, big. And on the other side of going after and doing that big thing, you're going to find that when you look back, you will have been changed by the pursuit itself of the big thing. And I'm going to give some examples. Here's one that I know is on a lot of people's bucket lists. Write a book, end to end. Okay. So if you set a goal for yourself, I'm going to write a book between now and 12 months from now. Doesn't matter what time of year you're listening to this. This is not a New Year's resolution podcast. It's just, you're setting a course, you're setting a date. You're saying between now and a year from now, I am going to write a book. End to end. It might not be the best book ever. It might have issues that need revision later, but I will write a full draft. I'm committing to writing this book. Every single day, if this is your goal, that you sit down and feel like you don't know what to say and you push through anyway, every day that you realize that, oh, geez, what I wrote yesterday doesn't work, it has to be thrown out, that chapter has to start again, all of that is gold. It's so good. Like, this is where it's built. All of that is gold. All of that is the path for you to become more confident, because you're going to look back and go, I didn't give up even when I didn't know what to do, even when I realized I made the wrong move and had to start over. Apply any of what I just said to whatever your big thing would be, writing a book, whatever it would be, it still applies. Another example, sign up for the marathon. If you've always wanted to do a marathon. Obviously, if you've never always wanted to do a marathon, don't sign up for these things just to prove something. But whatever your thing is, so with a marathon, your resistance is going to tell you it's too hard, it's too cold, it's not the right time, you're too tired, it's been too busy of a day at work. Every time you hear those voices and you lace up your shoes anyway, you are creating the proof that you can do hard things, that your resistance doesn't call the shots, you do. And think about it, that resistance is what undermines the confidence. If you ask someone, well, why don't you feel confident? They're likely to say something like, well, I just feel like I can't do it. I feel like I'm not equipped. Or there's a voice in my head that's like, why do you bother? Why do you think you're capable of this? It's the setting of the big goal and facing the resistance that actually gives you the confidence you're looking for. So whatever your goal is, commit to the year of couples therapy. Go live in a foreign country for 3 months. Build the tiny house from scratch. Go find that patch of land and like set up a sustainable permaculture. Like, find the goal that scares you just a little bit. One that will take a while to accomplish, that you aren't totally sure you can do, and go after it. For me, my entry point into this has been fitness and moving my body. I was not an athletic kid. I was not an athletic teenager. I was not an athletic college student. I've never been on a sports team in my life. But moving my body in these really extreme ways has taught me so much that is applicable to the rest of my life. And so I have two examples of this to share, because, like, for real, I want you to know that I've both been there and am still there. So one is that several years ago now, I signed up for a half Ironman triathlon. And in case you aren't familiar, half Ironman distance is, for a triathlon, is a 1.2 mile swim immediately followed by 56 miles on your bike, immediately followed by running a 13.1 mile half marathon. When I chose to sign up for a half Ironman, I did that feeling uncertain about whether I could do it. And when you're thinking of like what that big thing is for you, this is really important. It needs to be something that scares you a little bit. It'll take a while and you aren't sure you could do it. Because when I signed up for a half Ironman, I actually felt reasonably sure that with training, I could do a sprint distance triathlon. There are different distances of triathlons, just like there are different distances of road races, right? So I knew I could do, or felt reasonably sure I could do a sprint distance. And I felt for sure, reasonably sure that with the right training, I could do the Olympic distance of a triathlon. But I honestly did not know whether or not I could do a half Ironman. So it's like, if we put this in running terms, like pretty much anybody is going to be able to do a 5K. Pretty much anyone's going to be able to do a 10K. As long as you're careful about your training, you could do a half marathon and you won't get injured. A lot of people probably look at about the marathon distance and go, oh shit, I don't know if I could do that. So for me, a half Ironman was an entirely different beast. And the process of training for that race challenged every self-imposed limitation I had at that time. I mean, it was profound. It challenged every self-imposed limitation I had at that time. Every voice that I had about a half marathon, voices of, I can't do it. What do I even think I'm doing? Who am I to think I could? This is going to suck. I'm going to fail. Whatever that was, all of that applied to anything else in my life that mattered to me. And so doing that half Ironman made me get really clear on how to handle those voices of limitation, maybe get really laser focused on my priorities, on time management. I manage my time completely differently now. It pushed me to think outside the box for how I'd manage the different aspects of my life, working full time, having a family, training, and not just like manage as in like, oh, I tick that off the checklist, but like it really got me thinking about things like, how much time with my family is enough time with my family, right? Because like I need to define what I feel in integrity with. There's a certain amount of time with my family where I go, okay, yeah, I've really shown up and been a family member and I've connected and I've, you know, all the things. And then there's like a certain amount of time where like I just would feel disconnected. So it really got me clear on things like, how much work is enough work and how much is overwork? How much time with the family is enough and how much is like not enough or too much or whatever? So quite literally, I am not the same person today. And I'm just talking about mentality. I'm not talking about physical fitness even. I am not the same person today that I was before I crossed that half Ironman finish line after 8 hours and 30 some odd minutes straight of swimming, biking, and running. It's radically different. All right, I said I was going to give you two examples, so I want to give you another one. And it's the goal that I'm working on this year. And it's a goal that I am honestly, truly terrified of. And all of those self-imposed limitation voices are coming up again. And it's interesting to see them come up again, but in a different context. And it's the goal I'm setting for this year, which is to run an ultra marathon. An ultra marathon is any running distance over the standard marathon distance of 26.2 miles. Behind the scenes, I don't, you know, it just isn't really part of, I guess, my brand, so to speak. But I have been an ultra addict on the sidelines for many years. I watch the documentaries. I like I hear about a new ultra running documentary and I'm like, ooh, and I'm all excited. I've read all the books. Of course, I've read Born to Run. Of course, multiple times, so many times. But I've never done one. I've never done an ultra, not even close. And I have had more running injuries than I can count. And my biggest fear is a running injury because those can take months to work themselves out. Being injured is just a really sucky experience. I'm not even remotely afraid of just like the time. Like it's probably going to take me to do the distance I'm planning to do, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hours or something. Who knows? But that I'm not afraid of. Why? Because I've done a half Ironman that took me 8.5 hours, you know? So I know I have the grit and the endurance. I'm afraid of different things. And the fact that I did it before gives me some confidence coming into this, but now I'm setting a new challenge for myself. It's a new goal. It's a new limit to nudge up against. It's going to push me physically in a different way. It's going to push me mentally in a different way. And I'm curious to see what it's going to bring out in me. So, all right, back to you though. First big actionable strategy to build confidence is pick a big goal that will take several months to accomplish. And it has to be one, I think, to build confidence that you aren't totally sure you can do. If you know you can do it, it's not a big enough goal. If you think, I probably can do this, but I'm not sure you're getting in the vicinity. And if you think to yourself, I don't know if I can do this. I want to, but I don't know if I can. Congratulations, you're there. That's the goal. So really, really encourage you, pick something. And if you feel like you aren't sure what to pick, you know, one option would be like sign up for the hard physical effort. Another would be, you know, sign up for like writing a book or something like that. One you never intend to try to get published. But, you know, go with the conventional goals if you don't have one. But I think if you think about it, there's probably something somewhere that you've just always wanted to do. But you're like, I don't know how I would do that. It's part of why when I gave examples earlier, I gave the one of like going to live in a foreign country for a temporary period. Like that's a pretty scary goal for a lot of people. All right. So you've set your big goal. Let's move into what where you go from there. You set that big goal. From there, you identify the daily, weekly actions that you'll have to take that are small steps that feed into that big goal. And I alluded to this earlier, but this is absolutely where the magic of developing confidence happens. Remember, it's setting a big goal and allowing the pursuit of the goal to change you and help you to be more confident. Not necessarily the fulfillment of the goal itself. And I'm a goal girly. Anybody who's listened to this podcast knows I love a good goal. But the pursuit of the goal is really where the magic is. That's where the gold is. So showing up daily for writing your book or creating your online business or training for the marathon or navigating living in a foreign country or backpacking the PCT, spending an entire year in couples therapy, whatever your big goal is, it's going to require you to put in some kind of small efforts daily or most days. Obviously, it is not advisable to walk onto the PCT or Pacific Coast Trail without having trained to do a lot of walking while carrying a heavy backpack or understanding what provisions you need. It is not a good idea to quit your job and start a new business tomorrow with nothing in savings and just hope that if you build it, they will come. However, it is absolutely a good idea to, for instance, work for the next year to build your business as a side hustle. It is absolutely a good idea to research and understand the trail or the marathon or whatever it is that you want to cover and what the physical demands are going to be and what supplies you're going to need. This all relates to being more confident. Confidence isn't about being all-knowing or perfect, and no one is. It's about an innate trust in your own capacity. You feel confident when you know that life's storms, they won't break you. They might feel like shit. You might be like, what's going on? You might be like, why did I decide to do this? But it doesn't break you. You build the confidence by really putting yourself up against the small storms of life, which are the day-to-day pieces of resistance that are going to come up when you have to commit. You have to commit. Commit to something that requires that you show up every day and you will become a person who has confidence because you know that you are capable of figuring it out over and over again and again. You will become more confident because you know that your resistance to taking action doesn't get to call the shots in your life. You do. You call the shots. You decide. The resistance stops having power over you anymore. The voices that say, but what if you can't do it? They don't have power over you anymore. They might be there, but they don't have the power to dictate your behavior. The fears that you have nothing original to say for whatever business you want to start or book you want to write or that you aren't very good or who will even care, they don't have power over you anymore. And the only way that you step into this place of confidence is by intentionally putting yourself in a situation where you will have to confront those voices or those challenges. And spoiler alert, you will feel tired. You will have days where you feel like everything in your day went wrong and the temptation to skip a day of putting in the effort is going to be really strong. You will encounter setbacks, but you keep going. You find workarounds. You think outside the box. You keep going. And again, I give the personal examples because I never want to come across in sharing what I feel is useful and what I've learned and trying to be of service in sharing what I've found helpful along the way. I never want to come across as a guru, as if I'm like cool as a cucumber and I don't have these things come up too. Like, they absolutely do. Currently with my ultra training, I live in Colorado. It has been really cold and windy in Colorado. And I am here to tell you right now, there is nothing I hate more than a combination of both cold and wind. Hate. And there's zero way for me to predict what the weather will be, by the way. If anybody's like, well, why don't you just not run on the cold and windy days or, you know, something like that. Oh my gosh. If I may briefly editorialize, I don't know what is going on with the meteorologists in Colorado, but they are always wrong. Like, they're wrong like an hour out. They're wrong. The weather app will say that it's sunny and it will be snowing. I'm not even joking. There's something about the weather, the cold fronts, whatever. They move over the Rocky Mountains and so many things will change that in the morning, quite literally, the weather app will say it's going to be 30 degrees and sunny. And I'm like, great, I'll go out for a run. And then in the afternoon, it's overcast and a high of 20 degrees and there's wind and the wind chill makes it feel like 10 degrees. And I'm like, oh shit. These challenges are very real for me. They tempt me to skip runs. And I'm just like you too. I'll have a crazy work day with a lot I'm trying to get done. I'll feel tired at the end of the day. Just don't wanna. But every day that I rise up against the impulse to skip, to water it down, because that's the other thing people do. It's not just skipping. It's watering it down and cutting corners and not really doing what you said you were going to do. Every time I rise up against the impulses to skip, to water down, to quit, I feel a bit more capable. In some ways, the challenges are providing the perfect conditions for me to rise up, because either I can go and I can do the hard thing and run in the wind and cold. And by the way, I'm like completely looking outside my window right now and thinking of the run for later today and noticing that it's overcast and the trees are moving because it's windy and going, But I'm either going to go meet those perfect conditions for me to see that I'm capable of doing this thing even when I don't want to, or I'm going to be prompted to think outside the box. And actually, I did that yesterday. So thinking outside the box about how to solve a problem, also part of how you build confidence, because you're not like, oh no, problem, I'm stopped. It's like, oh no, problem, this sucks, but what can I do about it? So for instance, with running and the cold weather in Colorado and the weather conditions and all that, I didn't want to join a gym and run on a treadmill to train for this ultra in the winter, because those aren't the conditions I'll actually be running in terms of the terrain, like what my feet are landing on. Plus, I didn't want to spend money on an expensive gym membership that I would only be using for the treadmill, right? Because some of these gym memberships are like $75, $100, $150 bucks a month. But then I realized that the local, these franchises like Crunch Fitness, Planet Fitness, they have these $10 a month gym memberships. And when I look at that, I go, $10 a month? Like, okay, yeah. With a membership that's that cheap, I can do some of my runs. I'll do my running on outdoor routes on temperate days. And then if the weather sucks, I can just do a few runs here or there on an actual treadmill. Or as I call it, the dreadmill, because I'm not a treadmill fan. And then I also don't have to have like a treadmill taking up space in my house and stuff like that. And cost-wise, at $10 a month, if you figure the average treadmill costs like $300 or $400 a month, $300 or $400 total, at $10 a month, I could have a Planet Fitness $10 a month gym membership for a couple years before, you know, it would be cheaper to have bought the treadmill and all that. So nonetheless, the thing I'm trying to say is that the imperfect conditions that you are going to face when you are tired, when you are pressed for time, all of that, when you rise up, you either meet those conditions and then go, oh, I was so capable of doing that, or you don't meet those conditions necessarily in exactly how they rose up. You find a way around them. So you set a big goal, one that scares you a bit and that you aren't sure you can accomplish. And then you follow through with small daily actions towards that goal and you don't skip days. You don't water down what you need to do. You don't quit. And that teaches you resilience and facing challenges. And it builds your confidence because you start to trust yourself more and more. I can be counted on to follow through. Here's what you do next, though. It's not just that. Next, you nudge yourself slowly to see if you can go one more. So here's an example with building a business, if that is your big goal. You know what you want to offer. You learn about getting a website up and how to communicate your value to your audience. You start creating content or some kind of marketing strategy that involves regular outreach to that audience. These are the basic ingredients of a business. At some point, you're going to fall into a rhythm, which is awesome. The things that felt hard at the beginning won't feel so hard later. You've set up essential foundational pieces. So it's not feeling like it's so difficult anymore. Now what you do is you nudge yourself slowly to see if you can go one more. You resist the urge to plateau. You try to go one more to up the ante ever so slightly. Okay? Now, fitness goals really fit in very well for this. So, you know, this example of me training for an ultra marathon, you know, right now my focus is on building the ability to run 20 to 25 miles a week without injury. This is a base mileage. So this could be akin to setting up that those basics of a business, right? But as I build mileage, there's going to be a point when my body will adjust and I won't be so tired and I won't be so resistant. And I want to believe that spring will come again. And that when spring comes again, I will no longer feel the resistance to running on days when it's cold and windy. And when that happens, I don't want to plateau. Okay, so I'm going to need to up my mileage just a little bit, just nudge myself a tiny bit more so that I continue to be challenged and I continue to play to that next level. So for you, with whatever goal you have, once you've established a good daily cadence, look for opportunities to up the ante. And you never know when you might surprise yourself. I mean, I get it. At the beginning, it feels like, Kate, like just me even doing anything daily to do this thing I want to do is going to be a lot. Now you're talking about upping the ante. You might surprise yourself, okay? Don't sell yourself short at this early stage of the game. You're going to hit a plateau and you're going to be like, oh, I got it. Nudge it up a bit. So let's say with something non-athletic, if you're writing a book, for instance, and you have committed to 30 minutes a day of writing and you're in a good pattern with sticking to that. I'm not saying that you should go from 30 minutes a day to 60 minutes a day, doubling your time, unless you are like, okay, that feels like the next step for me, right? Like you do you. It's always about that. But what about going from 30 minutes to 45 minutes? Or what if you did 30 minutes of writing plus you spent 10 minutes after that reading a book from a genre you typically don't read from, which might kind of stretch your current skill or the tone you're trying to bring to your existing book or make you think about something in a totally new way, but basically something that would inform your writing. So essentially, you can nudge it up a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be more time and it doesn't have to be more intensity. That's the point I'm trying to make. Here's why this builds confidence. You'll see that not only were you capable of the thing you set out to do in the first place, but you were actually capable of going further. If you think you'll feel like a confident badass just by sticking to what you said you'd stick to, you'll really feel like a badass going above and beyond. All right, I've got one last thing for you, okay, for building confidence. This is an actionable strategy. I'm telling you, try this out. A year from now, you will be different. I really believe this. Last one, throughout this entire process, track what you do. And the system that you use does not have to be fancy. I track my running miles on the same paper desk calendar where I track my appointments. Yes, I do in fact still use a paper desk calendar. It's ridiculous, but I do. It works for me. I also could consult Strava because I do connect to the Strava GPS system when I run, and that tracks my mileage and my pace and my overall time. But I like having mileage noted on my paper calendar, particularly because I really like looking at the week and looking back over a training week and just being able to go, I did this. Like, there it is. Like, the week is spread out across the page and I did this. I did this many miles. Feels good. I've mentioned this on other podcasts. I am not sponsored or anything like that. Love the Productive app for habit tracking. I've used it for several years. Really great for getting a streak going. I use it to track all of the things for my morning practice. But nonetheless, whatever system you do, track what you do. And I'm going to give you the reasons for why, okay? First, it gives you, obviously, a measure of the work you've put in. Particularly for exercise goals, it feels really good to see that, I don't know, like whatever you were capable of lifting, if you're a weightlifter or you want to get into weightlifting, whatever you're capable of lifting in January, by September, you can now lift 35 or 50 or however many more pounds than you could at the start of the year. So that's a really cool thing to see. Second, it helps you when you track what you're doing, it helps you learn from your successes or failures. It's when you look back over time in hindsight that you'll be able to see where things got off track or why things stayed on track. So for instance, maybe you'll realize that you start off Mondays really well, but as the week goes on, you lose steam. And that could be unconscious if you weren't tracking and seeing that week after week, that same pattern plays out. Third reason to track. It helps you replicate results when you apply it to other projects. So let's say you decide to run a marathon. Maybe you're like, yeah, Kate, if I ever run a marathon, I'm definitely not running another one, but you never know. Tracking how much you run each week, your first time ever running a marathon, could give you a training plan that you can rely on a second time if you decide that you want to run another one. I actually ended up doing 2 half Ironmans. My training plan from the first one greatly informed my training plan for the second one. Fourth, it's the evidence that you can turn to when you have a bad week or month, and you are going to have them. Bad weeks, even bad months with a goal are inevitable. And when that happens, it's really common for that voice to pop up when this is going on, you're having a rough time, like, you haven't even done anything. What's the point? Why am I even doing, you know? But when you look back over what you tracked and you see that actually you did in fact do a lot, it's really hard for that. It's harder, I would say, for that critical voice to override you or dissuade you from keeping going. Last reason to track, it is so cool to see how little efforts stack up to big wins over time. This is something I talk about at the end of my book, 100% Fully Alive, which gives readers a 30-day program for how to build resilience and recover from burnout. And basically for 30 days, you undertake a specific set of actions, no skipping, 30 days. One of the actions is to spend 10 minutes a day on something creative with no agenda, which means that these little efforts stack up to big wins over time. At the end of 30 days, you'll have spent 300 minutes on creativity. I mean, think about that. For someone who's struggling with stress or burnout, who longs to make time for creativity, but they feel like they never have the time, those little 10-minute sessions of creativity that you're doing as part of 100% Fully Alive will not only help you on a daily basis, but at the end of the 30 days that you undertake as part of 100% Fully Alive, you look back and you go, I invested 300 minutes into something creative and fun. That's 5 hours of time. A lot of people struggling with stress cannot remember the last time they did anything creative and fun, much less 5 hours of it. So, to recap, the actionable ways to be more confident. Set a big goal, big, B-I-G, big, one that you're not sure you can accomplish and that scares you a bit. Set a goal that is so audacious that the process of going after it will change you. Then create daily actions that feed into that goal. Do not water them down. Do not skip them. Commit. Next, see if you can nudge up the daily actions in small ways here or there to go one more. And last, track your progress so that the evidence is sitting right there of what you've accomplished. And if you're wondering where to start, I already mentioned it. I, of course, recommend 100% Fully Alive as one option. Head on over to yourcourageouslife.com and look for books in the navigation bar to get started with 100% Fully Alive. And other than that, head on over to your calendar, write down the goal, and begin. No time like the present. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.